Amen. 2 Samuel 11:27. 2 Samuel 11:27. And when the morning was past, we can all read that together. And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done, oh, Lord, everybody say, uh-oh. Amen. We're going to deal with that last part. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Amen. Amen. So we want to talk about being above the law. Amen. Can everybody say, being above the law? Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Being above the law. Amen. Thank our AB team. They had some struggles, but I see the Lord been working with them, bringing it. Get this up. Amen. Being above the law. Amen. No one is above the law. And don't you hate it? Don't you hate it when, amen, someone feels that they're exempt? Don't you hate it when someone believes that the rules don't apply to them? Don't you hate it when someone find themselves where they get to the point of being above the law? Amen. We know that to be on above some, be above something is to be in a superior state. If you're above the clouds, if you're above your circumstances, amen. If you are above, then it seems that you have risen to a superior state. When you're talking about you are above. And so this morning, as we look at this, I want us to be, amen, aware, beware of blind spots. Amen. That's the aim of our sermon, amen, to beware of blind spots. Amen. Spiritual blind spots. Beware of them. Amen. Because they can mess you up. Amen. And I want us to recognize this morning that David, here we find that David was in a situation to where we know he was in a powerful position. And somebody said, when you're in a position of power, that makes you an easy target. Those who are in power, those who are prominent, those who are privileged, often feel that they are above the law. Those who are powerful, whether you are a president or whatever, you can feel or the powers that be, amen. You can be in power and you can feel you are above the law. Amen. You can be a person of prominence. Celebrities feel that they are famous and they get to the point to where they feel that the rules just don't apply to me. I can do what I want to do. Amen. It's a weird space to be in. But then those who are privileged, amen. You can feel you're privileged as a Christian. I'm a Christian, and I'm not saved by the law. So why keep the law? Christ is the end of the law. Man, let me settle down. Amen. According to Romans 10:4, Christ is the end of the law. Amen. But that's as far as righteousness is concerned. The law won't save me, but it doesn't mean I shouldn't support the law. Although Christians are not under the law, you can't get carried away with grace. and get to the point to where you think that you're above the law. Amen. Because I'm under grace. So I can do as I please. The rules don't apply. And I'm privileged. Well, that's what happened. You know the story. We see David's crime. David's crime. Amen. Because David broke the law. He committed a spiritual crime. Amen. And the crime that he broke was he broke the sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. And we know the crime. We went over the crime the other week. Amen. He took another man's wife and made her his. And then he could have committed another crime. He committed murder. We're talking about the psalm writer, the one that wrote Psalms 23. How many of y'all know Christians are not perfect people? But now, does that mean that you're above the law? Amen. You're not above the law. But we're all flawed. And the psalm writer was flawed. The Lord is my shepherd. He wrote it. He was a musician. The musicians are flawed. Are the musicians flawed? They said they. They said, yeah. Yeah. We're flawed. Amen. We're sinners, I guess is a good way to put it. Well, I may get to that. The truth is that when I think about this, what we must understand is that he committed the crime, and we know that following the crime was the cover-up. Amen. He broke one law, adultery. Then he broke another law, murder. He tried to cover it up. He took a man named Uriah, her husband, and, amen, he had him set up in the front of the battle. Amen. He had first tried to get him to go home, and finding that the person was pregnant, he tried to get her husband to go home so that way it looked like the baby was his. Then he went ahead and tried to get the man drunk, her husband drunk, and get him to go home. He just wouldn't go home. He was a loyal soldier to his country. He was a patriot, a true patriot. And one commentary say he was Uriah was more pious drunk than David was sober. He got him drunk and he still didn't want to do nothing wrong. Uriah said, I'm not going home. And he committed the crime. He committed the crime. He tried to cover it up. Amen. But we find out basically that as he tried to cover it up, we find out that thank God for those who love the Lord to the point that they will confront one another. See, Christians ought to be willing to be confronted when you're doing wrong. Because we're all sinners. And so we all got to look out for each other. Lovingly. We're not pointing the finger as if we are perfect, but we will tap you on the shoulder and say, brother, that's a mistake. Don't be doing that. Or sister, don't be doing that. Out of love, not out of condemnation. We ought to tap one another on the shoulder and let each other know. And thank God for Nathan. That's what Nathan was. Nathan the prophet. Walked into the president's office, in the king's office. And I like the way he did it. Amen. That's a good method to use. If you ever hear me setting you up with a story, you know I'm talking about you. Amen. I shouldn't have told my secret. Nathan went to David, and he didn't just straight out tell him. He said, David, there was a man who was there was a rich man, and there was a poor man. And one had, he had some guests to come into town, and then he wanted to feed them, and so he took the lamb from the poor man to feed his guests, although he was rich and didn't have to. David hit the ceiling in verse 5 of 2 Samuel 12. David hit the ceiling. And he said, that man shall die. He said, David, that's you I'm talking about. Amen. Amen. That's a good way. Amen. Let people indict themselves. He indicted himself. He said, thou art the man. You the man I'm talking about in the story, David. God has been good to you, David. David, God did. He gave you Israel. He gave you Judah. He blessed you. And if you wanted more, he would have given you more. But you took from, you were wrong, David. You were wrong. We must be willing to receive accountability lovingly, everybody. Amen. But the reason why a lot of times the church is running rampant and sin runs rampant is because people don't want to receive no accountability. They say, don't you judge me. Don't be trying to judge me. Don't judge me. Please don't judge me. Let me make God look bad. But the truth of the matter is, if you're here today and you're serious about your faith, you welcome somebody telling you something that you're doing wrong. You don't get mad at them. We welcome it. And that's what made David so good. He moved from the confrontation to the confession. And when David got confronted, he admitted, you know what? You're right. You're right. I'm wrong. Amen. He went ahead and admitted that he was wrong. He said, making it plain English, he said, I have sinned. Amen. David said, I have sinned against the Lord. That's what David said. He said, I have sinned against the Lord. But in his David's confession was so genuine that God forgave. How many of y'all know God will forgive you if you got a genuine confession? If your confession is genuine, God will forgive you. If you really mean, not that you just got caught, but if you really mean, if it really hurt you to know that you've done wrong and I don't know what happened, something came over me. Well, oh, Lord, have mercy, I take too long to get to my point. The truth of the matter is that he confessed. And the problem was, is that David, he confessed, but I wonder what happened. I tell you, actually, neighbor, I wonder what happened to David. I'm curious. I don't know the answer either. I just came. I studied the long it took, and I didn't get to finish. I didn't figure it out. So I guess the Lord will tell us when I get there. What happened to David? He was a man after God's own heart. He was serving God, and amen. You can't blame it on the woman, although she was not totally innocent. But he still had to. It still takes two. And so the truth of the matter is, the question is, what happened to him? David had gotten to the point to where he had authorized his sin. He done committed two murder. He done committed murder. And he committed adultery. And he covered it up. What happens when people? That's why I was talking about the. In life, there are some spiritual blind spots. And you need somebody, if you're really serious about serving God. And I don't have time to get it the way I wanted to, but if you really want to serve the Lord right. Amen. You ought to recognize the reality of some spiritual blind spots. That there are some times, you know what a blind spot is. I wrote it down. Amen. It says that it's an area that is not able to be seen, either due to its location outside of the field of vision or due to some physical obstruction or defect. So it could be on the outside or it could be on the inside. In one's vision, often used to describe the areas around a car that cannot be seen with the rear view or side mirror. Now, it's somebody over there, but they're in your blind spot. And it says that it happens with cars. Amen. Amen. It can happen with cameras. Security cameras have a blind spot where, amen, criminals say, you know, I get to the blind spot, I can still get in. But it also happened in the courtship. Amen. Not just in cars and cameras, but it happens in courtship where people really, you can be in love and you can be in blind. And can't nobody tell you nothing. They said, we can see it clearly. That person is not good for you. But it's a blind spot. You could talk to them all day. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And it's in their blind spot, and they don't know it. But, amen, many of us now, we messed up our lives and wrecked them because of this very sermon, we were not aware of spiritual blind spots. You gotta recognize the reality of them. There are spiritual blind spots, and you gotta want to do something about those blind spots. Amen. I'm hesitant about talking about what you should do about them, but the truth is, amen. Okay. I'm glad you talked me into it. Amen. Truth of the matter is. Amen. These blind spots can come from, can just be due to age. Amen. Some folk have blind spots just due to age. Amen. They so immature, they can't see what somebody else sees. Amen. A lot of folk have made mistakes because of their immaturity. And Satan came along while you were immature, and he made you make a mistake. You were not grown. You were not strong enough in the faith. And Satan came along and took advantage of your immaturity. I guess, amen, he robbed the cradle. Amen. Took advantage of your immaturity. And a lot of people mess up because they basically just too immature. They are immature, amen, and they are not able to, amen. I'm going to introduce a program dealing with this for those children who want to be really serious about serving the Lord and partnering with their parents in a HAID program, HAID, which always, when you meet your father and your parents, you say, how am I doing? Amen. It's an acronym, how am I doing? You got to be willing to put on the how am I doing shirt. Amen, and put a question mark on it, and always welcome your parents' advice. You know, even a spiritual family member that you may choose. But the truth is, you want to say, "Look, hold me accountable in life, because there's a whole lot of life I could be enjoying that I messed up because of my immaturity." You got to recognize that age will create a spiritual blind spot. Your appetite will create a spiritual blind spot. Your appetite can be so strong, your fleshly appetite. I'm not through with that. I'm trying to hear up. Your appetite can be so strong. And David's appetite was so strong until when he saw what he saw. How many of y'all know you got to watch what you see? Amen. And his flesh got a hold of him. And his appetite, fleshly appetite, was so strong till God and everything just went out the window. He approved, he authorized, he accepted, he felt justified in what he was doing because his fleshly appetite was so strong until it blinded his ability to make sound decisions. That's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says that the God of this world has blinded the minds. You see, you really don't see with your eyes. You see with your mind. You really do. Amen. You can bring a person in here that's 4 years old, and you can bring a person in here that's 84 years old and look at the same thing and see two different things. Amen. The 4-year-old don't see nothing that you may see. There may be a person standing there dressed in a nightgown, but it didn't bother them. But a 4-year-old, but an 84-year-old who had all that experience, you see with your mind, not with your eyes. And what David did was, is David saw something that made him abandon God, forget about God, forget about everything. Oh, Lord, maybe I'll do this at the next service. Let me just simply say, amen. We need to understand that those things are spiritual blind spots that we have. We have these blind spots in our lives. And God makes it plain that God went to David and he was not pleased with David. Amen. The Bible tells us, as I try to bring this, it says, but the thing that David done had displeased the Lord. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The thing that David done. Amen. Amen. What are you doing? What are some of the things? Can everybody shout things? Amen. Amen. We're talking about what he just had did. That thing that he had just done. God did not like it. There are some things that you can do that God does not like. And the Bible tells us that the thing that David did displeased the Lord. It displeased the Lord. Amen. There are some things. There are some things. You see, the Bible talks about a time in the end of the end times in Isaiah 5:20, where it talks about one day there's going to be a time when people are going to call good evil and evil good. I'm just getting to the sermon. They're going to call dark light and light dark. You read Isaiah 5:20. He said that's what's going to happen. They're going to do that. They're going to be in a situation to where they're going to call something that is bad good. And you know what that means? That means that they could just there's a time going to come when people going to start changing the rules. Huh? They said, we're going to change the Bible. The Bible is not going to fit into what I want to do. So we're just going to change it. That's all we got to do. We're missing. We'll reinterpret it. Make it say what we want it to say. And we gut the scriptures. And we take all of the authority out of it. And that way we can do what we want to do and still say I'm a Christian. Amen. He said, time's going to come. They're going to call good evil. Ain't that bad? And evil good. They're going to call dark light and light dark. Amen. And they're going to be prudent in their own eyes, according to verse 21 of Isaiah 50, of Isaiah 5 and 21. They're going to be right in their own eyes. They're going to be right anyhow. Amen. I know it's wrong, but I done fixed it so I can get away with my sin. And keep my, in other words, I am above the law. Yeah, God said don't do it, but I fixed it how I could live above the law. There are a lot of Christians who have authorized sins, practicing and behavior. And you know what they've done? They made themselves above the law. Now, we can't get saved by the law, but you ought to support the law. The law is good for you. Good practices is in the Bible. But you can get to the point to where I'm a Christian, but I'm living above the law. That's what David did. He had some consequences. We may not get to them yet. But, you know, there's some consequences of breaking the law. Amen. And David says, you know, I'm above the law. You see, God was not pleased with the way he was doing things. But he got into that space. He was powerful. And it just like, for some reason, it don't apply to me. It's for some reason, it's okay for me to do it. David, now everybody know the Ten Commandments, the Ten Laws. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Actually, he broke the last law first. He said, thou shalt not covet. He was coveting her. He done broke three laws. He authorized it, though. What space was he in to make him not feel conscious or guilty for what he... What makes people get to the point to where they can just do what they want to do in face of Scripture, and it doesn't even faze them one bit. It doesn't even bother them. They do it with their chest out. Oh, I can't trumpet this like it ought to be trumpeted. Lord have mercy. There are folk writing their own rules, I guess is what I'm saying. I put an addendum to the minutes. I wrote some amendments in the Bible. That one was amended. This is 2020, so we got to amend that rule. That ain't going to happen today. No, sir. To my woman, submit to a man? No, sir. We got to rewrite that. We fixed that one now. Let's go back to church. We got an amendment in the Bible there. We don't amend it to word. The Bible said don't add to it. You're not above the law. Can't change this book. You better get back. You better back up. Back off, buddy. If you want to live like you want to live the way you want to live. But you cannot be above the law. Well, the fact of the matter is, God told Jesus, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. See, God has to be pleased with us. And Jesus says, I do always those things that please the Lord. Well, I think I'm just going to stop here this morning. The truth is that God makes it plain that he says, the thing that David did displeased the Lord, and so you begin to recognize that David committed a crime, and David basically he committed the crime, but he was confronted, and what happened, he had gotten caught up in his sin, and so he confessed his sin. But then again, there are consequences to your sin, David. David, the sword shall not depart from thine house. God says, you're not going to die. Because look, think about it. He says in verse 13, you say, I think David was above the law, because you're supposed to be stoned if you do that. If you commit adultery, aren't you supposed to be stoned? The law said you're supposed to be, so I get, was David above the law? He didn't get stoned, did he? I can't answer that. I think, but the truth of the matter is, he did not get stoned. So folk can get the feeling like they're above the law because God's still giving them another opportunity.